Okey-dokey.
I'm going fishing, hook, sinker, and line. I said fishing.
Well, hey there, it is Fishing Frank here, and I've got a lizard in my throat today. I know you're supposed to have a frog, but this sucker feels like it's bigger and wiggling. It's got definitely, it's got four claws it's taken with.
All must right. Be one of those new Tegu lizards.
Tegu lizards?
Yes, the big lizards now that they're spotting in Punta Gorda.
What is a Tegu?
It is a big 4-foot lizard now that they're seeing running around in the Washington Loop area.
Really?
A new invasive species.
Well, if you haven't noticed, we're being joined today by Captain Kale of Bad Fish Charters. And Kale, where did you hear about this lizard thing?
I was on FWC's webpage the other day, and it's one of those things that you're supposed to, if you see it, take a picture and notice location and notify FWC.
Are they people eaters? Or
Almost. They're pet eaters, so it'll be, they can find them at the end of my arrow.
Find them at the end of your arrow?
Yes, that'll be the location.
Yeah. Look for the feathers, and at the end of the hard straight bit, that's where you'll find that lizard. And RJ's at the control panels. Good day, Mr. RJ.
Sir. And good day to you, too.
All right. It's another wonderful day here in Southwest Florida. A bit rainy, a bit oddball. Like I say, to me, the weatherman's got the best job, easiest job in the world this time of year. You go, okay, it's going to be hot. It's going to be sunny for a while, and it'll probably rain during the day. And that's pretty much just copy, repeat, say repeat for the next month or two.
Covers our summer.
Yeah. Last night I watched the rains go all the way around my house. All the way around. I mean, literally 2 blocks away, I could see it pouring. I could look down the other way, and I saw the storm down there. I walk out the front door and look. It's raining across the river. I'm looking on the side. Literally, we were surrounded by rain, and I was in the cone of heat, you know. So one thing about a late-day rain, it really drops that temperature down nice. You always look forward to it. A lot to talk about weather-wise, phenomenal-wise, weird stuff-wise. Red tide, still a problem around the area. Impossible if you're in Punta Gorda, Port Charlotte, Northport, on the Miaka River. You're not going to get any red tide. Physically impossible. Okay, boys and girls, here's a test for you. What is the one thing that kills red tide? Do, 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 do. Okay.
It's fresh water.
Fresh water, yes. You've never heard of a red tide in Lake Michigan. It doesn't happen. Or on a river. So as long as the rivers are still running, impossible to have red tide. A few years ago, we had red tide up in Port Charlotte because the river was not flowing. We were in a drought. And as long as there's a drought, then the salt water comes up far enough into the harbor, allowing red tide to come up into the harbor. Right now, the chances are 1,000 to 1 that the red tide would ever come north of Cape Hayes. Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, Pine Island Sound, Gasparilla Sound, anywhere along the ICW, definitely at risk for possible red tides. But the longer it rains, the less the red tide should have any effect because all the nutrients will be gone. And by nutrients, we mean fertilizer, cow manure, animal manure, all the stuff that flows down the Peace River, Miaka River, from our farms and, you know, pets and all the rest of that stuff.
Septic tanks.
Septic tanks. All that flows down through the rivers out towards the Gulf of Mexico. And according to our biologist, they say if you fertilize a plant, it makes no difference in the way it grows. That's according to the marine biologist, that if you fertilize the red tide plant, that doesn't have anything to do with it blooming.
But why listen to a scientist?
Yeah, I never do. All right? When I can get away with direct observation science.
I don't fertilize my lawn for one simple reason.
It'll grow.
I don't want to mow it anymore.
Exactly. I can't understand why people fertilize a lawn in South Florida. In the winter, it's going to be brown. In the summer, it's going to be green, and you got to cut it every 2 or 3 days. You know, that's just the way life is supposed to be. All right, red tide, it is not a poison. It is a plant pollen or spore, if you will, that paralyzes the gills of a fish. And when you paralyze the gills, they can't breathe and they suffocate. So it is not a poison, and it is not going to, red tide is not going to creep on shore, come into your house and, you know, ruin your life. It's, it doesn't work that way. And humans are very rarely affected by red tide. It makes you cough, makes you uncomfortable, but it very seldom, unless you have severe problems, does it hurt you. Hearing a lot about Big Snook north of Stump Pass, the red tide's been affecting mainly Little Gasparilla Pass, Gasparilla Sound, and Boca Grande Pass, and the very near beach there, thousands of dead fish. But very little, if any, north of there, and much to my surprise, very little south of there. But so we're hearing about Big Snook along the beaches up from Stump Pass up north to Venice. Some really nice big fish. You ever get to fish that beach, Gale?
Yeah, I do occasionally. I don't like going out there for snook, but I do every once in a while. They're out there to breed, so I kind of like to go easy on them. I don't like interrupted.
I can honestly tell you, I'm on the fence with that. At my age, being interrupted is the same as not being interrupted. It does neither way. It just doesn't work either way. So, you know, I got a lot less empathy for them than
I've got a few years before I get to that point.
If so. I was, you know, if this was 30 years ago, I'd probably be mad about it. But I kind of lost my sense of, yeah, that's a problem. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I wish I could say that wasn't true. All right. So big snook along the beaches. Pompano around the area.
Pompano, inside on the east side of the harbor.
That's what I've been hearing a lot about. I was actually went out with my dad Sunday, and take off from the house. We head down, stopped in at Ponce. Didn't really get any bites inside the Ponce Canal. Dad had heard about a little bit of trout inside the Ponce Canal, and we got there. The tide was dead still. You could put a leaf in the water, had the boat at anchor, and it was just nothing, no water moving. And
yeah,
so
that's not helping.
That's not going to get you fish. You got to have the water moving in, out, something, and especially the best times right after a tide change. That first hour to 2 hours after a tide change is always some of the best fishing. You know, look at it this way, guys. You're out there, and the water's been flowing in for the last several hours. And so all the bottom stuff is stirred up at the beginning of that, and then it all kind of gets laid out, and everything's kind of where it is, and the water's flowing. But now the water stops, and it starts going the other way. Well, all the sand and little stuff that's been piled up on the backside of those rocks is now on the front side of it. So as that water pushes, it's blowing all that stuff up into the water. It's making little plumes and columns. It washes up little brine shrimp and little tiny crabs, and everything's kind of getting washed out of its place. And these are very, very, very small creatures we're talking about. But then something a little bit bigger than them comes in to try and eat them. And something bigger than them tries to eat them. And it just kind of, the whole food chain thing happens.
Absolutely. It's one of the things that I've learned as a charter captain. If you're sitting in a hole at the top or the bottom of a tide and you're not catching anything, be patient and wait it through. Where you're not catching anything, when that tide backs up, could make a complete 180 turn in your fishing.
Yeah, you got more patience than I do. I'm like, okay, I got 20. I can wait 20 minutes, maybe 30. And then, see ya, exit, stage left, I'm on to the next spot. I can't do that, sit in a spot for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, because I know the fish are going to eat later.
Sometimes it's worth it.
Yeah, I know.
Sometimes it's worth it. I don't want to get home too early because then the wife gives me stupid stuff to do.
Yeah, but I would explode, you know. RJ, are you kind of I'm at the place and I know the tide's slowing down. I'm going to wait for it to turn. Or are you, I'm out of here.
No, you know, I've got a really short attention span, and that limits my ability to fish because I'll do exactly like you. I'll wait 10 minutes. There's no bites here. Let's go somewhere else. You know, and then the same thing goes on until I finally get disgusted and go home. But, yeah.
I can honestly say it. Because of doing charters and people paying me all this money to take them fishing and catch fish, I had to learn the minimum 20-minute rule. If you leave before 20 minutes, because when you first pull into a spot, you know, you got all the noise you made coming in and all the rest of that stuff. Sometimes it doesn't make any difference. Sometimes it makes a huge difference. But every study I've ever read, not that I would believe what a scientist said, but all of the studies since back in the 80s when I was reading a lot of studies in the 90s, they say it takes about a fish about 15 minutes to forget what happens to them. And because it's coming from prior to the 2000s, I tend to believe them, because it was in the 90s that the agenda environmentalists took over, and, you know, where if you would tell the people who gave you money to study something that everything's okay, we're good, you know, let's just keep everything the way it is and everything's fine, and they would say, okay, well, if everything's good, we don't need you anymore, and they would lose their job. And so now, for scientists to get money, the sky has to be falling. Oh, these are all dead. Everything's going to die. If we don't do something right now, we've got to do this, and we got to do this, and we got to study this problem, or the world is going to end. If they don't do that, they don't get money. It's global warming. It's, you know, the everything. It's how they get paid, is by screaming the sky is falling. So, but this information about the fish, after about 15 minutes, came prior to the agenda science.
Sure.
So I still believe in that. So you get there, you get about 15 minutes, and then that gives you 15 minutes for the fish to forget you showed up, and then you got 15 minutes to actually try and get something to eat.
I'm still a firm believer in good things come to those who wait.
Really?
Sometimes it does. Sometimes, yes, you're absolutely right.
Okay. Well,
I think if you're fishing for the fish of a lifetime, right, it's worth waiting, especially if you know things are going to change dramatically because the tide's going to change. If you're just out there to get something on the end of the line, well, maybe you need to move around a little bit because
sure,
you don't
absolutely
want to spend that time talking. So
now, are you noticing, boys and girls, that RJ, who was teaming with me, I finished my tirade, and what's he doing? Jumping ship. Yes. He's on the opposition. I will remember this. Don't think I'll forget.
I made promises to Robert before he left. But somebody had to be the adult in the room.
That's true. I forgot. Okay. Anyway, we talked about Big Snook north of there. We were on to Pompano on the east side.
Right.
Now, when I was out with my dad, kind of a strange thing happened there. We're going to get to the Pompano in a minute. But we were fishing up there. And we ended up going down by Pirate Harbor because we had heard some nice trout out in front of Pirate Harbor. And I get down there, and before I left the shop, I went through the wall, and I said, you know, I remember it was last winter when you needed to have a pink jig head on to really catch much for fish.
True? Right. I'd agree with that.
There was the guys who were using pink jig heads were catching way more fish than the guys who were just using a hook, or a guy using a chartreuse or a yellow or whatever. The pink jig head was literally ruling the roost.
Yep.
And with that in mind, before we left the shop, I went over to the hook wall and I pulled some hooks off. Eagle Claw came out with, I've got purple, chartreuse, pink, white in the Eagle Claw. And then
you like these colored hooks.
And then Gamagatsu's got a red one. I got a gold one from Mustad. I got the black VMC, and then the kind of gray cadmium, and Mustad also has just a regular silver hook. So you've got the nickel, the cadmium, the black, the gold, the red, the purple, the green, the pink, the white. You got all these different color hooks to choose from. Why am I only fishing with a black hook?
I don't know. That's all I fish with.
Okay.
I've never dug colored hooks off the wall. You've talked about colored hooks before. You enjoyed using the colored hooks.
What I found was we were down there and we were fishing and we were catching 13, 14 inch trout. That seemed to be what was there. And it didn't really seem to matter. Now, I couldn't get any on my curl tail grubs, but I had them hitting the head and torpedo, the top water.
Sure.
And I was doing pretty good with the top water. The only thing they were hitting was shrimp under a popping cork, and they were eating that real good.
Yeah, the trout have been doing that lately. They want that shrimp, but they won't touch artificials. But where do the colored hooks come in?
Well, I was kind of getting to that. But,
okay.
I switched. I had the black BMC on, and which is the hook I use pretty much all the time, and I put the chartreuse hook on. I started catching, they weren't big snapper, but we had caught a couple 6-8 inch, you know, those little bait thieves, those little snappers.
Yep. Your nuisance snappers.
The nuisance ones, the ones that really annoy you because they're eating your bait apart. And then you finally hook one, and you go, I thought that's what it was, a little snapper, because you feel this peck, 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 peck on your bait, on your lure. And, you know, you think it's pinfish, but it's actually these little tiny snappers. And I put the chartreuse hook on. I started catching legal size, not great, but 10.5, 11-inch mangrove snappers on it.
Okay.
And I put the black hook back on, threw in the same spot, and it was peck, 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 but I wasn't getting the fish hooked up. I was losing the bait, not catching the fish. I went back to the chartreuse hook, and I started catching the fish again.
Now, my question is why?
I think they understand sometimes, because so many people fish that area. Hooks, hooks, hooks all day long. Bait with hooks, bait with hooks, bait with hooks. And I think they see that, maybe that black part on that, maybe they think it's a stick or a thorn or something like that stuck in the bait. They tend to eat around it. They weren't eating around my chartreuse hook. They were literally going right to it, hitting that chartreuse hook.
Because I'll be honest with you, these colored hooks confuse me.
Well, you're colorblind.
Exactly. Do I match? Do I clash?
Kale, it's you. You clash. There's no doubt about it. Even if you're kind of going on the same page, but you're clashing.
I buy 1,000 black hooks for $40, and that's what I use fishing. Now I've got to have 5 colors. What do I do?
Well, if you're using jig heads, I don't know how many's in here. I was trying to find out how many's in this pack. They're not that bad.
There's 25 of them.
25 in for $6.
Excellent price.
So it's not a horrible price. 25 for $6.
If I'm fishing, say, a root beer paddle tail with a chartreuse tail, do I use the purple or do I use the chartreuse?
You wouldn't be doing that. You'd be using a jig head.
Well, sometimes I use them without jig heads.
All right, but these, I don't know, you would have to hook this right through the front.
And yeah, just, exactly. It works. It works.
What
well.
Color jig head do you use?
I usually use a pink or
all right, there's
a
your pink hook.
Color.
Why would you put a black hook on when you can put a pink hook on? Because you use a pink jig head. Why wouldn't you put a pink hook on?
Because it doesn't make sense that little bit of chartreuse would actually work. And obviously it does because you've had it work.
I saw it work.
Well, I'm not debating that. It just,
but
it
doesn't
make
sense. My
only
point is I don't understand if you're using a pink jig head, why wouldn't you use a pink hook?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
I think you should. I just think it's rather an obvious thing.
Then we're going to start getting into salmon and mauve and all those colors that men don't understand.
Well, I got this much.
Yeah, I'm still working on chartreuse. What color is that?
Well, chartreuse is French for catches fish.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought.
Yellow-green,
okay.
It's a green with yellow in it.
Because I was thinking, you know, a red hook probably simulates something visually, like it's an injured fish and it's bleeding or it's got... And what do they call... Is they call them red hooks?
Yeah, you've got red. The first ones that really make it popular was True Turn. And they had an amazing red hook because once you chip the red on it, you could see a little gold in it. But they rotted away almost instantly. They would literally fall apart once you chip the finish on it. And I can tell you that's exactly what these Eagle Claw do. I chipped the finish on that chartreuse one. I'd been using them the week before, and I'd been catching fish with it. And that's kind of why when I went out, I actually was going between the black and the chartreuse because I thought I saw a difference in it the week before, but I couldn't be sure because I wasn't actually testing it. I was just kind of fishing. And when I went out to do this, when I went to put the chartreuse hook on, put the bait on it, the hook broke in half. It had been hanging on the rod. I had it in the hook keeper outside for the week, and it was all, the chartreuse was chipped up, and the hook just literally fell right apart. It's awesome. I mean, if you happen to lose one of these in a fish, as long as that finish is chipped, it might last a week, but I don't think so. I mean, I think being in the fish and the salt and everything, I think they're going to fall apart in a matter of a few days. Mm. So, yes, you do have to buy more hooks because they're not going to last if you chip that finish. Now, the ones that were in my tackle box, it's not a waterproof bin, and it was outside, so there's a little moisture in it. They were fine. Didn't have a blemish on them, not a mar, not a blemish. But the one that was chipped, oh, my God, literally when I went to put the shrimp on, the hook, the end of the hook broke off.
And that's probably a really good thing, you know, for the price of having to buy a few more hooks, you can hook a fish, he gets off, you know, by snapping the line, and you know he's not going to die from having the hook in his mouth for the rest of his days.
I was literally very impressed with that. I know it's not what you want to hear, the hook snapped off, and you know, literally just trying to put a shrimp on it, and I broke the hook apart, but I had no trouble landing fish with them. I got it snagged on the bottom. I mean, let me tell you, strong hook, tough hook. I was snagged in oysters. I snagged a tree with it. Pulling it out, I actually was able to rip part of the branch off with the hook when it was fresh out of the pack. But a week later, literally fell apart. I thought that was a pretty cool thing with it.
Oh, absolutely. The other thing that makes me wonder is they have all these colors in J-hooks.
Right.
You can't find a color spectrum like this in circle hooks.
There's a reason for that.
It's not because
no
you don't like circle
No real fisherman
hooks.
Uses a circle hook.
It's not because you don't like circle hooks.
You have to have no if you have no talent, you use circle hooks.
No, I disagree.
Okay, you would. All right. I don't like circle hooks. I think they're cruel and unusual to the fish. I think they're bad. But
why not color them?
I don't know. I don't know why people buy them now, so I'm not even going to speculate on why they would buy them in colors. If you're a circle hook person, okay, you're putting a hook on and you don't want to work for it. But question, what's the best color hook for sheephead?
I don't know. I do just fine with my black circle hooks.
Gold. Gold is the best color for sheephead. Gold hooks work better on sheephead than any other color I've ever used.
I will agree with that. We do go through a lot of long shank gold hooks.
Yeah, just standard shank gold hooks. That's always been my go-to for sand fleas, fiddler crabs, all that. That gold hook does great on sheephead. And my point is, if that gold hook does good on that, why wouldn't you try like a pink hook on, you know, a fish that you use a pink jig head for? Redfish, for instance. They seem to like that pink color. They go after a lot of, I would say snook, snapper is more of a chartreuse thing. But I don't know about the white hook. I was trying to think of what I would use it for. And I'm not sure what that... But I use a lot of white lures. The Storm Twitch is white.
Sure.
White paddletail shads seem to do good, all that.
Yep.
So there's a ton of white colors out there. speaking and mentioned Spanish mackerel, there's a lot of those in the harbor, but way more in the Gulf right now.
Yes, a lot more in the Gulf, especially since our rains. You know, the rains has flushed a lot of the smaller bait fish out into the Gulf. We're still seeing a lot of Spanish mackerel just inside Boca Grande Pass. There are a few still running around in the upper harbor, but you're going to do a lot of working and a lot of moving around to find them.
I do a lot of trolling looking for my... Excuse me, I was getting a drink and almost choked on it. All right, I do a lot of trolling for looking for Spanish mackerel.
Sure.
I put a couple lures out, a Storm Twitch on one side. I'll put a little Clark Spoon on the other side, maybe a bucktail jig or paddle tail. Go along about 2-3 miles an hour, and as soon as I hit a fish, I stop and fish for them because they're actually fish there.
They're probably there. But there's one, there's more.
Yeah, and so I'm not big on just, okay, I'm going to go out, put the anchor out, and just cast for Spanish mackerel. Well, maybe they're there, maybe they're not. But if I can troll for them and then hit some, and then just stop and either drift and fish or anchor up and fish, depending on how I do.
And we've been catching a few here and there behind the sandbar on the east side with shrimp under a popping cork.
Well, you were on a charter the other day.
Yeah.
Now, the Spanish mackerel, they're real thick out in the harbor. And yes. I'm sorry, in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yep.
Once you get about 3 miles out, you can see schools after schools of Spanish mackerel
right
out there because there's a lot of Spanish sardines, there's a lot of glass minnows, a lot of bait out there, so the bait's feeding real thick. A
lot of food.
Now, on the inside the harbor, you were doing a charter the other day. What happened on the charter?
These guys just wanted to catch fish.
How unusual for people hiring a charter boat.
Yes, that just
the guys wanted to catch fish.
Well, this
year. Now, we've had to study this phenomenon, and we have found that. Never mind. Go ahead.
Well, they get. This is the time of year where they'll get specific.
Specific?
Smoke. I want tarpon.
Yeah.
I want shark. These guys didn't care what they caught. So we started off on the flats, and we were doing pretty good on trout. We caught about 50 trout that day. So our
Any idea where they were from?
These guys were from Chicago.
I hear there's only two types of people from Chicago.
There are two types of people from Chicago. You get your laid-back guys from Chicago, and then you get those guys that are so loud and obnoxious that you would think they were from New York City.
So they now he's just attitude. Upset two regional areas.
Right.
And
that was all done in one sentence.
In one sentence. That's efficient.
In one sentence, he was able to annihilate the Midwest and the Northeast.
Right.
And
that is not a lack.
Where is the host of this show? Where was he born?
I don't know. Where were you born? Chicago?
Yes.
So you know I'm right.
Don't worry. You're going to get lots of calls from the Midwest. Okay,
so you know I'm right.
One of the two of us will call.
The funny part is these guys were brothers. And one was the calm, relaxed one, and the other one was 1,000 miles an hour. And we went in, we caught a bunch of trout. They got a couple keepers.
Did you get any Spanish or anything?
We did. We caught two or three Spanish mackerel, which is kind of fun when you're fishing for trout. Because you don't realize it's a Spanish mackerel.
Okay.
When you catch the first one. It's that little Chinese guy on the bottom. So we're going to piss off another group here.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And that little Chinese guy.
So well.
And that little Chinese guy on the bottom, his name is Zing Pao. Because your line goes, Zing Pao!
Okay.
And breaks off.
So, we've managed to upset half the people in the Midwest, all the people in the Northeast, and the Oriental population of Florida.
About 3.5 right. billion people worldwide, right?
Have I missed anybody?
Yeah, no.
Well, you're getting to all of them.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
equal opportunity show. We're going to make y'all mad.
You up your leader size a little bit.
Oh, you upped your leader. Okay, go ahead.
And you go after the Spanish mackerel. Now, you're not going to catch 1,000 of them behind a bar. You'll 2 and 3 it. But the nice thing is they're usually bigger fish. We have
So what were you catching them on, by the way?
Catching them on shrimp under a popping cork.
Shrimp under the popping
yep.
corks. All right. Now, one question I have. I like using the DOA oval float. And I use the DOA at this time of year because it's got the heavy weight, the big oval. I love the sound of it. Now, do you use the regular, concave, the popper style bobber? Or are you using an oval float or a cigar float?
I prefer the concave back bay thunders.
The old fashioned popping cork style.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Love it.
Because DOA's got a nice one of those. And then you got back bay thunder that's got one. The DOAs, what I like about the DOAs, you can actually get it pre-rigged with the shrimp on it.
Right.
I like that deadly combo one because it's already got a leader on it. It's got a fake shrimp on it. And if I'm going to use it this time of year, I take a bag of frozen shrimp, I cut off a little piece of frozen shrimp, stick it on the hook of the shrimp, and just throw it out. And I don't have to keep putting shrimp on all the time while I keep getting banged up with these little trout because there's a lot of small trout out there.
Absolutely.
And how many trout do you think you went through to get those two keepers out of it?
50.
Yeah, that's right. You said that. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I will pay attention to what you say next time.
That's kind of normal. You find that school of little trout, look for the big trout on the outsides of that school. Big trout eat little trout.
I've been hearing that a lot over the last few weeks, that if you find little trout, you're not so much moving to find bigger trout. You're just casting further to the left or the right.
Cast further, drift through them a little bit. Don't just go change zip codes because all you're catching is little trout, which is what we've done for years.
Yeah, that was the way we always did it, but it's changing. It seems like the big trout are hanging out around the outside or whatever, and the smaller ones are inside.
Right.
Okay, now you got the trout, Spanish mackerel there, so what happened next?
We went up into the mangroves looking for redfish, caught a bunch of small snapper, your nuisance snapper.
Were you using chartreuse hooks?
I was not using chartreuse hooks. Maybe that was the problem.
See, if you would have been using chartreuse hooks, you would have been getting keeper snapper.
I had my black circle hooks.
You could have been catching keeper
snapper.
Obviously,
I was doing it all wrong.
No, only half wrong.
Okay.
You're getting the small ones. You could have.
Could have had the big ones.
You could have. Okay. But so really, against the mangroves on the east side has not been that great.
Not for redfish, no.
No, it just hasn't.
Great for snook. It has been doing very well for smaller snook. You're not going to see a whole lot of big snook. They're down in the passes breeding. But there's been some just great numbers of smaller snook.
Okay.
And we gave up with that. These guys weren't interested in tarpon, but I was smart enough to put all of our small ladyfish in the live well. Hey, guys, let's go out and check the tarpon. We're at the top of the tide. That's when they've been more active. It's on the way home. Let's go take a look.
All right, now most of the tarpon in the harbor, and there has been literally dozens, if not hundreds, showing themselves rolling around, have been in an area, kind of if you went from Alligator Creek out to the reef, to the 20-foot hole, to the middle hole, the Pirate Harbor hole, and kind of down to Burntstor, and then all along that sandbar on the east side. It's kind of the east half of the harbor has had a lot of tarpon in it. I mean, dozens, if not hundreds of them rolling. And is this what you've been seeing?
Yeah, the majority of them seem to have been hanging out. It's the area I call the taint.
Yeah, between the middle hole.
Between the middle hole and the bottom hole.
Because it taint the bottom hole and it taint the middle hole. Okay.
Yeah, so they've been sitting out there.
Have I heard that before?
Possibly.
Okay.
And they've been staying there. They're not drifting in a little bit with the tide, drifting out a little bit with the tide. They've been sitting here for the past week. Eating absolutely nothing, mind you.
Eating nothing.
That we've thrown at them, I've seen in the last 4 days, one actually boated.
So one of the guys out there tarpon fishing.
Right. He had the magic bait that day, because I've thrown everything. So we went out with a live ladyfish in the hopes that they would eat a live ladyfish. Usually when those tarpon come up into the harbor, it's very rare for them to turn down a live ladyfish. And as soon as we throw them out there, stuff was boiling on them.
Well, that's always encouraging.
Exactly.
I mean, as soon as you throw a bait out, you know, you get this ladyfish on. Now, before we go further, how are you hooking your ladyfish?
I will just open up their mouth and put that circle hook up through their top jaw.
Okay.
And then put them about 3 feet down on a float.
So you're putting them under a bobber.
Right.
About 3 feet under a bobber. Open their mouth, put the hook in through the top jaw, and just
right.
kind of let them swim.
Let them swim around. Let them be a ladyfish.
All right. So you throw these out. Now, are you using several ladyfish at the same time, or are you just trying to keep it down to one?
Two. And even that could be a pain in the butt when you've got ladyfish swimming around out there.
Because they're schooling fish. They
right.
want to go together.
Right.
And if they go together, they get tangled together. Yes. So two, one cast one side of the boat, the other cast out in another direction. Yeah. Try and keep them away from each other so you don't make yourself nuts. So you got these ladyfish out there, and immediately the fish start boiling on them?
Immediately fish are boiling on them. The one is jumping out of the water like a shrimp underneath a popping cork. When you know that trout sitting underneath them and that shrimp's jumping out of the water to try and live, that's what this ladyfish is doing.
Really?
And I got excited because I thought, finally, after 4 days, these darn things finally decided to eat.
So you got fish boiling on the ladyfish. You got
right.
them about 3 feet under a bobber.
Yep.
Oh, what size hook are you using?
7-0.
7-0. Okay. VMC?
Yes.
Okay. So using the VMC 7-0 and
circle hook.
Yes. Thank you for reminding me. I appreciate that. So, the ladyfish jumping out of the water, why aren't they hooked up?
That was my question.
I mean, if you're out there and you've got
exactly.
tarpon usually don't miss
a
ladyfish.
No, they don't miss a ladyfish.
Why is the ladyfish jumping if it's not tarpon?
It turned out to be 15-pound jacks hitting the ladyfish.
So they were just taking bites out of the ladyfish?
Trying to. And finally, the one guy was actually an avid bass fisherman. I happened to have a bait caster on the boat with a topwater, so I handed it to him and let him go to town on those 15-pound jacks.
Skitterwalk or Zerspook?
I actually had the Rapala.
The Skitterwalk. Good choice.
I don't know why. I usually go Zerspook, but I think I grabbed this one just because, number one, it's a bigger presence in the water. And number two, it's got nice, strong saltwater hooks on it.
And it doesn't pull apart.
Right.
So when I'm going out, if I'm going to fish black tip sharks, possible, you know, 50-pound tarpon or whatever with a topwater, I always go to the skitter walk. Even though sometimes I can probably get maybe a couple more hits with a spook, but I literally land the fish with a skitter walk. I don't come back with the head of the lure.
Right.
For some reason or other, that bigger Zara spook, which should be monster tough and monster strong.
You would think.
The head nose cone just literally comes off, falls off. I wondered if sometimes if I could actually just look at the seam and run a thing of super glue around it to maybe beef it up a little bit. But it seems like, why did I buy the lure if it's not going to hold together?
I don't know. I've had big sail cats destroy them.
Yeah. And the super spook doesn't do it, but
no.
The full-size spook does, the one I want for these bigger fish.
Beats me.
I don't know. So anyway, you got the skitter walk on, and kabang kapow.
Yeah, 15-pound jack after 15-pound jack. These guys were having a blast with them.
Well, that's pretty awesome out there.
And it was good to find them at the end of the day. You don't want to play Stairway to Heaven first.
Yes. I've always said, don't let Stairway to Heaven be your first song, because where do you go from there?
Right.
You got nowhere to go but down. It was funny, because when I was doing charters, you get out, you get on that one hot spot in the morning, you get really lucky, and I've literally had people who I know for a fact caught 35 snook in that first hour on the boat, and then things started slowing down as the day went on. So by the fourth hour, they're like, oh, gee, well, this trip kind of sucks. I'm like, we caught all these fish at the beginning.
And if you would have done it at the end, you would have been Superman.
If we would have done that in the last hour, you know, they'd be singing your praises for years.
Yep.
But because we did it all the first hour, yeah, not so much. Okay. So anyway, the jacks. Now, a lot of guys are taking jacks home to eat now.
I've been trying to push it as much as I can. Take one home and try it.
Why?
Jacks are one of the most commercially fished fish on the planet. You have probably had jack at some point in your life and not known it. If it says whitefish in the ingredients, it's probably jack crevalle.
Well, ladyfish, threadfins, porgies,
you name it.
All those fish, they all go into. When you go to, anytime you buy a fish sandwich, fish patties, fish sticks, pretty much what you're getting is those fish.
And they're not bad. If you get a lot, if you don't like that heavy fishy flavor, cut that red meat out. Just eat the white meat. It's excellent eating.
Jack crevalle is my favorite. I've had smoked sailfish. Yeah, it's okay. Cobia smoked. Yeah, okay. It tastes like smoked fish. But jack crevalle, my number one favorite smoked fish. Now, if you have a smoker at home, you want the best smoked fish ever. It's jack crevalle. There's nothing quite like it. It's really good. Let's see. Did that. God, I wonder what that word is there. Oh, I know what it is. Okay, getting out, taking a minute. I want to go out into the Gulf of Mexico for a little while. Hold your nose. We're going under. What's going on out in the Gulf of Mexico right now?
I'd say your biggest bite right now is snapper.
Well, red snapper opens now.
Red snapper, mangrove snapper, yellowtail snapper, lane snapper. Good reports on all of them.
Okay. From the lane snappers, yellowtails, for some really big ones, you got to get out 70 to 90 feet of water from what I've been hearing.
Yeah.
Now, to me, I like bottom fishing out there. One of the guys was saying, if you really don't know how to read your bottom machine to tell if you're on sand bottom or rocky bottom or something, put about an 8-ounce sinker on a pole and then put about 2-3 feet of leader on, put a piece of bait on it, and just let the boat drift along. And if when you're drifting along, you just feel like a kind of a dull pull on the rod, then you kind of know you're on sand if you're drifting along. But if all of a sudden you feel the sinker going bonk, 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 and getting a little snagged and popping up and down, you know you're on hard bottom.
Yeah.
I mean, if you throw a 8-ounce sinker out and it lands on the sand and you're drifting across, just imagine if you were on the beach, put an 8-ounce sinker at the end of the fishing line, threw it out, pull it back. You can see what it feels like. And if you're wondering what rocks feel like, go over to your garden or wherever you've got some rocks, throw it at a sinker out, drag it across where you can see what it's hitting, and now you know. That's hard bottom or rock bottom, and that's sand bottom.
And out to 50 feet, good quiet day, you bounce that 7-8 ounce sinker off the bottom. If you're on hard bottom, you can almost feel and hear the difference the way it hits.
Well, you could. I can't hear like that. I did order a hearing aid. Believe it or not, I did.
Okay.
So I should get one next week to actually be able to hear the differences. I was trying to do some stuff in my recording studio, and I had to have Josh go, yes, no, that's making noise. No, it's not. Okay, you're good there. I could hear the difference. So.
How are we going to talk about you behind your back now?
Yeah, well, I was just thinking, what a bummer that's going to be.
Yeah.
I'm going to be able to hear what you guys are saying. Just pay attention. I shouldn't have told y'all.
No, you should have left that one a surprise.
Yeah. Put the hearing aid in and, you know. Getting back out there, Red Snapper. Now, that's kind of 120-plus foot of water.
At the very least, 100 for good size. There have been some guys getting smaller ones in shallower water, but you know what? You might as well drive that extra half hour and get better fish.
Yeah, that does make sense. Now, some of the wrecks out off of Boca, have you heard anything about the Palm Island Ferry? That was doing so good a while back, but I haven't heard anything recently.
I haven't heard much. That doesn't mean there's no fish. It just means that we've had 20-mile-an-hour winds up until the last week.
Yeah, okay. But a lot of the stuff offshore has been doing really good. A lot of mahi-mahi out in the Gulf of Mexico right now. And it's literally amazing how many dolphin are out there, mahi-mahi dolphin.
Yeah.
Had people coming in. Well, we saw schools of fish going under the boat, real long forked tail. They kind of looked green or yellow or, you know, I don't know. They were pretty bright, and they had big long forked tails. We didn't know what they were. Well, you try and tell them it's mahi-mahi dolphin.
And well, like, no, you well, tell them that you tell them dolphin, and they look at you sideways.
Yeah, then it's like, no, you're not going to try and catch flipper. Okay.
Right.
This is the other dolphin. But it's amazing that they think that they're only in the Keys. It's one of the most prolific fish in the world. Travels everywhere in the world, every ocean, every sea.
One of the fastest growing fish.
Yeah, one of the fastest growing. And so, you know, why wouldn't they be there?
I'm hearing reports of some sailfish out there.
That was one that never fails to surprise me, because even though I know they're there, and I know they're out there, and I know you can catch them here, I still get surprised.
Sure. And the other thing that I'm hearing from divers is we're starting to get a good amount of lobster out there.
Mostly the shovel nose, but or the bulldozer type.
Right. Now I'm talking spiny lobster.
Really? Spiny lobster up here?
Absolutely.
Well, I guess the water's warming up enough for them to get up this far.
I think that's the case. I mean, we're seeing our fish, our snook. You know, usually you couldn't catch them.
I've heard them up in the panhandle.
Yeah, up in the panhandle.
Snook.
And it used to be I-4 was pretty much your cutoff for snook.
Yeah. Tampa was always the northernmost end of the range. That's why we had that freeze a while back. And all the snook in Tampa died. I'm like, well, duh.
Yeah.
I'm not even supposed to live there. It's too cold.
And like I said, I mean, that is an indicator of some type of warming. Fish don't lie. They don't have an agenda. They don't have grants to fill.
Well, I would say the freakiest part for me is watching the weather over and the water temperatures over the last 30 years or so is there was always about 5 to 10 degrees difference between St. Pete and Pensacola. Pensacola was always cooler water, and, you know, in the spring, winter, and fall, Pensacola was always cooler.
Sure.
And now it's pretty much the same temperature all the time. There's not a lot of variant. You get about 3 or 4 months out of the year where you get the colder water there than what we have here. So it kind of changes the migration of the patterns of some of the fish. Instead of moving kind of straight north and south, some of them are moving more east and west. They're going out west to get to deeper water, find that cooler water. And as the water cools down, then they're just coming back towards shore. They're not going as much north and then going south to the water. Literally just kind of going in and out more.
Right.
So we see king mackerel more often during the year. We see more sailfish, more mahi, more tuna, bonita, all these fish that were at one point very, very seasonal. Now we're here much more diversified times during the year, a lot more during the year.
Sure. I mean, look at our trout are staying all year round now.
And now, out in the Gulf, if you're going to go out for red snapper, what's going to happen is the two baits that I've heard of the most for them is octopus and thread fins. Not sure. The sardines or the cigar minnows, although the cigar minnows are still selling pretty good. But thread fins and octopus have been the two baits that most requested for the red snapper fishing in that 100-plus feet of water out there.
I can see that.
Now, people get a lot of confused because if they're down at the pier, say at Ponce de Leon Park or Lemon Bay, and they catch a snapper, and it's got the bright red belly, the black slash on its eye, they go, oh, I got a red snapper. No, that's a mangrove snapper.
And it's even more amplified offshore. You get into those big mangrove snapper, they turn bright red. You put them in the cooler for 10 minutes and you pull them out and you think you have a red snapper. They just turn bright red.
The funniest part about them, when you catch them in the Gulf of Mexico, they're just gray.
Right.
They got a little bit of black markings on, but pretty much just all gray.
Their technical name is gray snapper.
Right. But if you catch that same fish in Charlotte Harbor under the mangroves by a dock off a pier, it's got a brown back, a red belly, a black stripe on its eye.
Right.
But actually the exact same fish. But when you catch them out in the Gulf of Mexico, you take this fish off, it's gray, you go, wow, it's a nice snapper. It looks kind of like a mangrove, but it's, you know, it's all gray. Put it in the ice chest, and you go back in there 10 minutes later, and it's got bright red belly, and it's really amazing how much they change.
Yeah.
From when you take them out of the water to when they're on ice.
Absolutely. It's, you can look at them twice. I hope FWC doesn't look in the cooler. Yeah. Are these mangroves?
Yep, they are mangrove snappers, that's for sure. All right, and one fish, two names. Most fish have a lot of different names, but regionally or locally, there's usually one prominent name for them. And I would say in Charlotte Harbor, we call them mangrove snappers.
Right.
But in the Gulf of Mexico, they are gray snapper. And I would say most commonly, both names are used, gray snapper, mangrove snapper.
Mango snapper.
Mango.
That's what I hear them referred to a lot by people that are new to the area. Mango snapper.
It is, exactly. And, you know, I never really thought about it, but it is the newcomers, the same one who say Chinook.
Right. They catch Chinook.
They catch Chinook.
By Punta Gorda. And sometimes they catch them at Boca Grande.
Yeah.
You know, after they go through, they drive through Pladisa, they go fishing there.
And unless they're fishing in the channels.
Right.
Okay.
Right, they're in the channels.
And then they get the mango.
Right.
Yes. Okay, so.
Well, I guess I have to correct everything that I've been saying over the years.
You know, I don't remember, but in the last 5 years, I've heard that mango snapper like it's an actual name for a snapper. You know, I can remember clowning around, people would say, oh, mango snapper, but now it's actually become almost a name for mangrove snapper.
Well, that was the history of the jeweled grouper.
We just
got really tired using two syllables, so we started calling it a Jewfish instead of a jeweled fish.
I was talking to Morris the other day, and he had another name that Jewfish came from. And you had the jewel. He has another one. I forget what it was. I'll have to ask him. I'll try to remember to tell you. But
I always thought it was a reference to the meat. That's what I had read someplace. It was a reference to the meat being so white, flaky, and clean.
It looked kosher.
It looked kosher. Right.
So from kosher fish to Jew fish, RJ says that it was jewel fish to Jew fish.
Well, it was never a derogatory name.
No,
it was Florida that named it the bane of the Jewish religion. Goliath.
Right.
Yeah, we always said, well,
yeah, it was a great name for it. It was a good call by FWC. Let's go from Jewfish to Goliath.
Yeah, it always reminds you of Davy and Goliath. Wait a minute, the Jews kicked his butt once. Now he's got a back?
Yeah.
What? Round one, Jews. Round two? Sorry, Goliath got you, boys. All right. That's a weird turn of events. Never gets started. All right. Red snappers, way out. Where are you going to find yellowtails?
You can find yellowtail from our close reefs out to the red snapper grounds.
To me, I always want to be in at least 60, maybe even 70 feet of water for decent size yellowtail.
For decent size, yes. Absolutely. Well, we got into a mess of good ones right off of Tremblay Reef.
Really?
And we didn't even know they were there. We sat there pulling up sheephead, having a blast. And I took my dip of snuff out and threw it in the water, and about 5 million yellowtail snapper come out from underneath the boat looking to see what it was.
Hmm. I don't know. RJ and I look at it going, well, hey, I guess so.
I've seen dumber.
is there a snuff-colored hook?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, it kind of reminds me, Pegleg was talking, his wife, Heather, she gets in the water and swims until all the snappers and everything come up. And I was laughing, saying, when Terry and I were into golf all the time, Terry would always go in the water, swim around until, you know, all the barracuda and all the other fish, you know, when someone's swimming there right by an anchored boat, you could bring a lot of fish up. And so I'd pull her back in the boat, we'd fish. And I found out Pegleg does the same thing with his wife. Good man, you know. But it's a true story. I mean, she likes to swim, gets hot out there, she should go swimming. I stand watch, so if she gets up big, I can pull her back in the boat.
Yeah, I'm not getting in this water.
What's that?
I'm not getting in this water.
Well, as long as somebody's watching, you see stuff long before it ever gets there.
No.
No?
No. I have two very simple rules for water.
Okay.
I don't get in water colder than my pee. I don't get in shark-infested water. Period.
Okay. Well, I can tell you, the Gulf of Mexico, got the first one covered. You're
yep.
okay there.
Yes.
That's no problem getting there. okay. Let's see. Where was I? All right. Lane snapper. Up till this point, it has been the best year on record ever for as far as big lane snapper. One of my favorite eating fish. I think lane snapper is mild, flaky, a little sweet. It's really nice if you like light spices the way I do. I like a little bit of butter. I want to put just a little bit of something on to kind of give it a little extra, but I still want to actually understand what the... I don't really care for blackened recipes and
Me
stuff
neither.
Like that. Because you're tasting the spices, unless you're putting it with a bluefish or a Jack Crevel or something that's really got maybe mullet with the red stuff still in it, you know, something really strong and nasty, then all those things get good. Why anybody ever had black and redfish, I don't know, because it was the all you tasted was the chili and all the rest of that stuff that was in it. But I like that mild stuff, and lane snapper to me is amazing. And what I like to do is put a little piece of shrimp on, or I'm sorry, a little piece of squid on the hook, and I cut it 2 inches by about a half inch, put it on my hook, and I try and stick it through once, and then again, so it kind of like a little flap on, like if you were putting like a stick pin through
clothes.
The way
you used to put night crawlers on. Hook them once, then hook them twice.
And just let the rest of it hang down. Then I put a live shrimp on. Because snappers love live shrimp, but they're really good at getting them off the hook without getting hooked up. So when they pop that shrimp off, I try to see if I can get a feel for it. If I didn't hit them right away, I wait and I get them again on the squid.
What about
the
fish bites instead of the squid?
Yeah, I was going to get into that because of the jigs and stuff, but we're pretty much out of time for that. So I like, you can use fish bites on there too. That works really well. But I kind of like the squid with the live shrimp, keeping live and live because I'm on a hook, and I can use natural baits
with steak and potatoes.
Steak and potatoes, okay. Yeah, that actually kind of works. Let's see. Mangrove snappers, any hints for anybody out there catching mangroves or lane, grunts, porgies, whatever? If you're going out, you really only got to get out maybe 6 to 7 miles right now.
You don't have to travel
maybe
far.
Even three.
Yep.
There has been no red tide out there at 3 miles.
No, it's all been closer to shore.
So the red tide's been hanging right along the beaches, the intercoastal. So you get out there 3 miles, you're clean and green. You're all good. And so you really take a little bit of squid, a little bit of shrimp, maybe some sardines with you, 2 to 6 ounce sinkers, 2-4 8-ounce, I guess, would be a good combination.
Sure.
Bigger baits, bigger sinkers, lighter weights, lighter sinkers.
Yep.
And go out and have a ball on these mangrove snappers, because keep your eyes open for blackfin tuna. Keep your eyes open for bonita, sailfish, mahi-mahi. Even if you're 3 miles off the shore, could be Spanish, could be, pompano, could be permit, could be cobia, could be anything out there
anything
right now.
Anything this time of year.
Everything's right there by shore. Fish and Frank here. Captain Kale, Bad Fish Charters. What's your phone number, Kale?
941-916-4538. And you can find me on www.reelbadfish.com.
Okay, RJ in the control booth, Fish and Frank. We'll see you guys. Bye. Fish, 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 fish. I'm going fishing, hook, sinker, and line.